In today's gospel, Christ teaches the need for his disciples to do good and not simply avoid evil. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the Pharisees, "There was a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linen and dined sumptuously each day. And lying at his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who would gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. The dogs even used to come and lick his sores. When the poor man died, he was carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried, and from the netherworld, where he was in torment, he raised his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he cried out, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering torment in these flames.' Abraham replied, 'My child, remember that you received what was good during your lifetime, while Lazarus likewise received what was bad. But now he is comforted here, whereas you are tormented. Moreover, between us and you, a great chasm is established to prevent anyone from crossing who might wish to go from our side to yours or from your side to ours.' He said, 'Then I beg you, Father, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they too come to this place of torment.' But Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them.' He said, 'Oh no, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent.' Then Abraham said, 'If they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone should rise from the dead.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Doug.
Thank you for that warm welcome. I really appreciate it, and I'm happy to be here. Friends, in Jesus' parable in today's gospel, there's a story that tells us of the rich man and Lazarus, their eventual eternal fates, and how that situation 2,000 years ago knocks on our door this very day. In the first part of the parable, Luke introduces us to two key characters in the story, and their circumstances could not be more different. First, he tells us that there's a rich man dressed in purple garments, fine linen, and eating sumptuously each day. Notice something particularly important. This rich man has no name. He has no identity. Jesus just calls him the rich man. And we'll talk about that in a minute. This rich man lives in extreme opulence and luxury, and the purple clothes he wore at the time would cost 2 months of wages to the average worker. It's also interesting to note that Jesus mentions purple garments. The term purple, translated in Greek, is porphyros. And if you were to also see that translation, it means scarlet. Why is that important? If we were to look at the first chapter of Isaiah, verse 18, we would see the words, "Though your sins be like scarlet." So this rich man is not only wrapped in wealth, he's saturated in sin. He's also feasting on expensive meats and dishes. And in Palestine, at the time of Jesus, if you were to eat meat once a month, you would be lucky. And here he is eating meat and exotic dishes every single day. Then we're introduced to a character whose circumstances could not be more opposite. Lying at the door of this rich man was Lazarus, covered with sores, who would have gladly eaten the scraps that fell off the table of the rich man. The introduction of Lazarus is strikingly different than the rich man. Lazarus actually has a name. His name, Lazarus, is the Latin translation for the Hebrew word Eleazar, which literally means, my God who has helped me. This is an individual with a proper name, and here he is, sitting at the door of the rich man. Also in Palestine at the time, there were no knives, no forks, no napkins. If you were really rich and you would eat, the way you wiped your hands would you take pieces of bread. You'd wipe your hands on the piece of bread, and you would then discard them on the floor. And that's why the dogs are there, fighting with Lazarus for those scraps. Lazarus is a sick man in wretched poverty. So we have two people, same place, same time, completely opposite. But our story changes, and we move on to the fact that both men die. And while Lazarus is taken up by the angels to heaven, the rich man is brought to hell and is in torment. So what really is the sin of the rich man? I mean, come on, when we think about it, the rich man didn't yell at Lazarus. He didn't beat him. He didn't even get mad at him that he was at the door taking those scraps. What was that sin? The sin was he didn't even know Lazarus existed. He didn't see him, didn't care about him. He never existed, and it never even thought of him or occurred to him to help Lazarus in his suffering. There was no answer of pity to Lazarus's cry. My friends, there's a sober warning here for you and for me. The world has the power to change, and the question is, are we aware enough to change it and to see it? The rich man became so consumed with his wealth, his power, his pleasure, his prestige, he became blind to everything else. He became blind to simple things like mercy, compassion, and suffering. The rich man became inhuman, and that's why he has no name. But Lazarus, he thanks God. He looks for God for helping him. He understands God is there for him. Even the scraps that he receives off the rich man's table, they're from God, and he knows that. So what does this have to do with us 2,000 years later? And while Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees at the time, he's speaking to you and I now. And by the way, this story is not about money. You could be thinking, well, rich man, money. No, it's about the gifts that God gives us. You know, the bishop always talks about our time and our treasure and our talents. And God asks us to be good stewards of those gifts that he gives us to improve the kingdom. As we all know, God is the Lord of creation and hence the owner of all things. Nothing finally belongs to us at the end. We do not control it. God does. It is not our final possession. It's God's. And while he does give these gifts for us to be good stewards, it's for us to improve the kingdom. So can we honestly say with St. Francis of Assisi that God is my everything when we look at the plight of the suffering around us, the homeless on the street, the family with no food, the homebound with no one to talk to, the kid in your class who's being bullied, the worker who's sitting at the desk next to you that's really struggling? Does any of this pierce our hearts with pity and compassion? Do we respond with mercy and love, or are we just as blind as the rich man was to Lazarus? Because this reveals the condition of our hearts and who we truly are. Instead of striving for things of this world, are we like Eleazar, who looked to God who helps us? There's a story of a cardinal who was meeting with a bunch of benefactors in his diocese. And he was telling them how happy he was and how thankful he was to helping the diocese and helping the poor. And without you, you know, the poor wouldn't get out of poverty. And they were probably feeling pretty good about themselves at that time. But then he kind of turned the table and said, you know what, though? You need the poor just as much as they need you. Because without the poor, there's no way you're going to get to heaven. So I think about that image, and I think about Lazarus. And what if Lazarus thought about that? Because he was there to help the rich man. If the rich man only knew that Lazarus was there to help him as well, would the rich man be in the torment that we read about today? At the end of our lives, we're all going to knock on that door. And we don't want Jesus to say, I never knew you. I don't know your name. We want Jesus to say, welcome. You are the one who clung to me for help and used the gifts I gave you to improve the kingdom. So friends, I end this with a question for me and for you. Why has God placed that person or persons, and sometimes in a very unnerving way, on my doorstep and yours? May God bless you.